Welcome to the Business Buyer Diaries. My name is Nathan Platter. I'm a full-time employee, and I bought a business. I did everything right, from finding the deal, handling all the due diligence on 63 opportunities, and ultimately bought a profitable gym. And boy, was I in for a big surprise as a new owner. I chronicled everything in real time, including the biggest wins to the stressful nights at 2 a.m. I'm sharing my journey without sugarcoating anything, so you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here's today's episode. All right, so what a fun first day at the franchise conference. It's been a blast. I came up to the event, pretty solid opening. And it was kind of funny. It was something that kind of, a curveball that hit me. And I'm stumbling because I'm trying to figure out where to start the story. So in the business purchase agreement, we said that the seller and I would split the transfer fee of $20,000. So like, oh, cool, that's good. And we're all set. And that'll be paid at closing, so I don't need to like save up for it. But lo and behold, as we come here to the event, the franchisor is like, well, part of the closing docs is a receipt of franchise fees paid. So I have to pay the franchise fees so that they can give me the receipt so that I can close on the business. So a chicken or the egg, hands down. And so we're instantly on the spot. I'm like, well, crap, I got to get to my event. I need money right now. And so I went to my checking savings account and everything. And not the business fund that we've been putting money aside to, but like our normal day-to-day checking account. And when I put together our checking and our savings, it adds up to $20,900. So, right, we gotta do a franchise transfer fee now, or else I can't attend the event and they're not gonna, like, they have to show on paper, like, if I'm attending the event for audit purposes, that they've, like, covered everything. And so I'm like, all right, it's inconvenient, but I can do it. So they let me. They were out for letting me do the first half of the event, but before the weekend was out, I would needed to pay that transfer fee. So during one of the break sessions, I hopped to my truck and drove to the bank and picked up a cashier's check for $20,000 cash out of the personal checking account. So not the business fund, but the personal checking. And we're now down to $900 in our personal life, which for us is really scary. That is well below our threshold of where we like to be on a day-to-day basis. So I text my wife like, hey, let's not go to Target for 2 or 3 days. We're going to be kind of short on cash. So like, here you go. Here is where it's at, but don't worry, we'll be good. So I initiated a transfer from the business fund. That's at another bank altogether because I've kept it out of sight, out of mind. And I initiated a transfer from that bank to our personal checking savings account bank. But that'll... Today's Tuesday or Wednesday. It won't settle until Friday. So for the next couple of days, we're going to have $900 in our checking account, which is terrifying. I have not been in that spot for a long time. And yeah, that's where we're at. But at the end of the day, I had some perspective. Come back to that in a minute. So that's where we're at. Halfway into the event, came back and paid the franchise fees. So that's not taken care of. And since that's a cost of business ownership, in contact with the broker and the bank, they said they're going to deduct our equity injection down 20 grand. So whatever it was going to be, it's now $20,000 less since we've put money into the business ownership process. So I kept the receipts and documentation showing we paid that, you know, because I definitely don't want to pay that again if the equity injection is a lot more. So went to the conference. It was cool. They brought in a samurai black belt guy, which was really sweet. He did a demonstration with his son, who was also working at the studio. They did like a business talk and how to improve our fitness studios. And something that I really appreciated, which faith talk, real talk, here we go. At the start of the whole conference, the founder stood up and super tall dude, 6'4", really great guy. He talked about how of the five pillars of the franchise, faith is a big one. And so faith for, I took it as faith, like spiritual beliefs, but he said it's like faith that this is a product that can work. And I think he meant both. But there are two Bible verses that were part of this whole, the business pillar, Psalms 12:2 and Proverbs 27:17. But as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And for Psalms, I can't remember what the verse actually says for it, but that really hit me in a good way. Something that I've struggled with is how confident or bold should I be in my faith as a business owner? I've been in it as an employee, and And a few like personal relationships when people have like been really stressed or really anxious. Back in the days of working together, a couple times I went to one of my coworkers, like Adam, and I'd say like, "Hey man, I know you're about to have a really stressful one-on-one. I can tell you're really nervous and anxious. Can I just pray a blessing over you?" And he was like, "What? You? Wow, man, really? You do that for me?" And I knew he was a believer, or that he like was spiritual. I'd say he's a Christian as well, but just to like pray for someone, not to like, "Lord Jesus, like convert this person," or like, "God, make this person not be a bad person." Like, no, just like, "Lord God, like give them peace. You're the provider of comfort. You have big plans for his life. And Lord, I pray that my coworkers would love you more and more, and that you would give them peace and your confidence in this moment that's feeling pretty messy." Jesus, say amen. And just super simple, basic prayers, not over spiritualizing it, but having a relationship with God and talking with God and seeing that transformation for people and as an employee. And I'm fine if that would have repercussions. I never did materialize those repercussions. But treading that line as an employee. But now, like as a business owner, where you have people that are paying you revenue, and then people that are employed by you, what can I do or what can't I do as an employer? And just to see that the founder and still the CEO of the franchise is openly sharing that he has Christian beliefs, foundations, and that resonates with me. That really is cool to put yourself out there, because that will distance some people, and that'll rub some people the wrong way. It'll draw people in like me, but that will not rub everyone the right way. And so that was really cool. I wanted to give him a personal thank you, but he was a little busy after the conference, but I'll be doing that tomorrow. Fast forward, rest of the event was awesome. Got to swing a samurai sword and cut a pool noodle in half. That was really cool, actually. It felt really, really awesome. And then at the end, talking to a few of the franchisees, the seller was there along too, so we're very cordial. Like, we acknowledge that we know each other, but definitely not leaning anything on about our... that we're doing a deal together. But sitting down afterwards, and like, it's the cocktail hour, so there's like chips, crackers, slices of ham, drinks if you want to get it. I'm still in my alcohol free diet, so I had soda water, though that cider beer did smell really good. But just sitting down with some of the two other franchisees, and they were talking about there's a club in their hometown that the now owner was an instructor at for like 6 or 7 years, loved it. And the club was doing so well, and the owner said, "Hey, you should buy the club." And the instructor was like, "Well, okay, sure, why not?" And they were just on board with it, which is great. But then, like, realizing, talking with them, like, the husband and wife were both there, and realizing, like, this is a big deal. Like, this is her full-time job, which is, you know, that's normal, that's good. But, like, they refinanced their house. Like, they were going to do an addition in their garage or in their house, rather. They had some personal life goals that they were going to do, and they put that on hold, still refinance the house, but like that refi money is now put towards the business. And you know, the money they got from the house was enough to buy the business, but in the 3, 4, 5 months they've owned it, they haven't paid themselves like hardly a thing. Like, they've made like 1 or 2 car payments. They're not like swimming in cash like you would think when you're like small business owner or entrepreneur. You think like, "Oh, of course they're rich, private jets." But, like, no, like these folks are squeaking by. The guy's really cool. He's a day laborer. The wife is a kick-ass instructor. She's really cool. But like for them, like they're putting it all on the line. My wife is working in a hospital. I work a cushy tech day job, and yeah, I don't want to meet people for the red, so I don't tell them like I went to college. I don't ever tell people I got an MBA, because I know how I feel when people say that. Like, you're too good, you're snobby, you're arrogant, and so I never talk about education. They're just shooting the breeze and just talking, and we can relate because we're humans. When we can talk, we don't have to have hierarchy. This isn't India where you have built-in hierarchy. You are two people doing the same thing, trying to change the world, and we're on the same level. That's it. That's all the difference we need to know. We're the same level. You just to see, like, I would be questioning, like, should I refinance my house? Like, should I quit my job to do this? Like, maybe I can keep my job and do this, but to be like, no, these folks are like putting it all on the line. Like, there is no plan B. And when the wife went to go get more food, the husband and I were just talking, just carrying the conversation. And I asked him, like, hey, was it scary for you? Like, I don't even got your job, but like, how was that? He's like, dude, he told me, dude, I've got full confidence in her. She is a rock star. She will do what it takes. There is no obstacle she cannot overcome when she puts her mind to something. And, like, he wasn't even like telling himself that. Like, he was confident in his wife. And it just really hit me, like, dude, this is a power couple. Like, these two are what, like, the American dream is made of. Like, they are gonna go places together. This is awesome. So I felt really humbled. Like, oh, we have $900 in the bank account. It felt dramatically different than when I saw that they were going through. So it was really cool to see. Definitely the perspective on what people are going through, because in a sense, I feel a little bit siloed and I don't know, like I'm in a cushy spot. I'm not really leaving a dead-end job to go for this. I'm leaving a job that I really enjoy, that I love my coworkers. I love my coworkers, but... And there's something that's... I believe they'll be more fulfilling owning a business and changing lives on a personal, day-by-day level through hard work, better nutrition, and stronger human beings. Not just providing good products or services, but really changing our communities one human body and one mindset at a time. So it was a good conference. Really, really good. Great day one. A really good slap to reality on what my expectations should be on being an owner and what it's like to sacrifice and to really believe in your spouse. I believe in my wife, and I've never thought about mortgaging your house so that she can pursue what she's ecstatic about. That's amazing. That's really cool. So yeah, that really, really shook me in a good way. On my way home now, gonna hang out with the fam, gonna get a good night's rest. Tomorrow we're gonna continue on day two. It's gonna be a full-on day event from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. I'm stoked. This whole thing is getting better and better at day one. But these conferences are definitely helping me see where the focus should be, what things to be working on, and who are my peers in my corner that are equally going through the growth together.
This has been another episode of the Business Buyer Diaries. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I hope you're realizing that business ownership is no cakewalk. Check the podcast notes for a link to the DIY due diligence program, the complete list of show sponsors, and for media inquiries. Music written and composed by Wes Schrock. I'm your host, Nathan Platter. Join me again on the next one.